Let me see, I'm trying. Until I can take it quickly. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. أما بعد فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون وقال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال الله تعالى إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرأة إذا صلت خمسها وأطاعت بعلها.
وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرأة إذا صلت
وأطاعت بعلها وأحصنت فرجها وصامت شهرها فليدخل من أي أبواب الجنة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected mothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, Surah Bani Israel, 15th para, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. That person who intends the akhirat and he makes the necessary preparations, the adequate efforts to reach the akhirat, whilst he has complete and perfect iman, then those people, their effort will be accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their effort will be appreciated in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayat, in a very beautiful manner, encapsulates the way for us to reach Jannat. It is the burning desire of every mu'min to get to Jannat. Every mu'min, his dream abode should be Jannat. I want to go to Jannat. I want to live my life comfortably and leave this world in a beautiful manner, in a manner that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a manner that I will be going to Jannat and I am going to have the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off the ayat with saying, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ, the person who intends the akhirat. The first step is that we should have the intention in our minds and the desire in our minds that we want the akhirat. We want Jannat. Remember, this world is a deception. This world is a dream. It is not a reality. It seems to be very lucrative. It seems to be very lush, very green. It seems to be very attractive. There is the glitters and glamours of this dunya that can blow a person away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in Suratul Kahf, since Suratul Kahf is the antidote against the fitnas and challenges of the times. So one of the major challenges is the challenge of materialism, the challenge of this dunya, where people get blown away when they look at the dunya. So Allah Ta'ala says, Inna ja'alna ma 'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu 'amala. Whatever is on the surface of this earth, we just made it an adornment. We made it a beautification so that we will test them, which one of them is best in actions. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed it as a test to see, are you getting carried away? Are you getting tempted? Are you getting distracted? Are you getting diverted? Or is your focus still on the akhirat? Are you serious that you want Jannat? Or you are not sure that you want Jannat? You rather prefer to have the enjoyment and the luxuries of this world. There is nothing wrong with enjoying the permissible things of this world, provided it is done in moderation and one is not consumed with it. One must never ever be consumed by this dunya. So Allah Ta'ala says, this dunya, this is just an outward beautification. وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا سَعِيدًا جُرُزًا. We will make whatever is on it an empty land, a barren land. That before Qiyamah, everything will be reduced to smitherings. Everything will be reduced to dust. Everything will be destroyed entirely. The skyscrapers we see, the big, big buildings we see, all the things that tempt us around us, it will have no reality left to it. Then you will understand that this was just a delusion. It was just a deception. And it was something that was not real. But what really matters is the akhirat. Jannat is the place to be. Jannat is the place where the fun never ends, where the entertainment never ends, where the happiness never ends, where the sun never sets, because there is no sun in Jannat. There is only happiness, there is only peace, there is only enjoyment. Jannat has got no old age. A person never gets old in Jannat. Jannat has got no sickness. A person never suffers any sickness in Jannat. Jannat has got no sorrow. Jannat has got no grief. Jannat has got no worries. Jannat has got no poverty. Jannat has got no shortages. Jannat, there's no debt. A person never dies. In this dunya, you can live the best life. You can live in the largest mansion. You can have everything you want to. But one day, you will have to definitely leave this world. One king had once built a magnificent palace. And he made sure everything was done with 100% accuracy. And there was absolutely no defect in that palace. There was no fault in that palace. He went around, he scrutinized, he looked. And then he told the people that, look at this palace and tell me, can you see any defect? Is there one thing out of proportion here? And the people looked and looked. And they said, no, definitely, there's absolutely no defect in this palace. One buzurg had to pass by. And he had seen what is happening. So he approached the king and he said, I can already tell you there are two defects in this palace. So the king was shocked and surprised. Point out to me, what are the defects and what are the faults? So he told him, the first defect is that the person living in this palace will not live forever. You are here in this palace. You have been blown away. You are carried away. You think this palace is something like, it's like paradise, it is like Jannat, but you will have to soon leave this. So you're going to have to leave it, You're going to have to go, and you're going to have to go to another realm. You're going to have to go to another world. Then the reality will dawn upon you that you are not here for this purpose. And the second defect is that the palace itself is not eternal. It's going to be here maybe 50 years, maybe 100 years, for a certain period of time, but eventually it will be destroyed. Eventually it will be reduced to dust. So this is the reality of the dunya. That is why you get kings like Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi. Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi was a very powerful king. He ruled over the entire vicinity of Balkh, thousands of miles were under his rule. And he had so many servants. He had so many people around him, attendants, any given time. He could just indicate, he could just point, and you find that whatever he asked for, he got it immediately. But the time came in the life of Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi. I don't wish to go into the details, but there were certain signs, and he realized that he cannot find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all that luxury, all that comfort. He cannot find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that palace. So he abandoned everything. He abandoned everything to get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi had reached such heights and made so much of progress, and he became from among the awliya and the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must always have this desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from His selected servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the Hizbullah, the group of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the Ashabul Jannah. Remember, in this dunya, there are two groups of people. There are people going to Jannat and there are people going to Jahannam. So we will have to make the decision which group we want to join, who we want to be with. If we are going to be with the people that are going to Jahannam and then expect to get Jannat, just, you know, you're just going to get lucky, then this is not something that is logical. It is not something that is sensible. Imagine a person is traveling towards Cape Town, but he says, I want to end up in Johannesburg. You will tell the person, you cannot travel towards Cape Town and expect to end up in Johannesburg. You will have to take the route. If you want to go to Johannesburg, then there is a route that takes you to Johannesburg. You will have to follow that route. In the same manner, if you want to go to Jannat, then there is a route that takes you to Jannat. You have to follow that route. You cannot follow the route of a Jahannam and then expect to enter Jannat. It is like a person growing onions. He's planting the seeds of onions and he expects carrots to grow. That's not going to happen. You are planting the seeds of onions. If you are planting the seeds of vice, the seeds of sin, the seeds of haram, and then you expect goodness to come out, then definitely you are completely mistaken. You are misguided. That cannot happen. This is not the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you have to tread the right path. Like the poet says, تَرْجُ النَّجَاةَ وَلَمْ تَسْلُكْ مَسَالِكَهَا إِنَّ السَّفِينَةَ لَا تَجْرِي عَلَى الْيَبَسِ. You are hoping for salvation, but you do not follow the pathways of salvation. Then remember, إِنَّ السَّفِينَةَ لَا تَجْرِي عَلَى الْيَبَسِ. The ship cannot move on dry land. You want a ship to sail, but there's no water. How is the ship going to sail? So in the same manner, you're going to have to follow the right path. And that is why every day in salah, we make dua, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Throughout the day, from the morning, if someone's reading tahajjud, early hours of the morning, till the late parts of the night, whenever we are reading salah, we are making dua, O Allah, guide us to the straight path. So the straight path is the path that takes us to Jannat. In fact, Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned that the Sirat-e-Mustaqim has got few qualities to it. One is that it is the shortest route. We're asking Allah, even in this world, whatever we need to fulfill, whatever needs we need to fulfill, whatever work we need to fulfill, Allah Ta'ala, you guide us to the shortest route. We don't want to take the longest route. The second is, it is the safest route. It may be short, But maybe it's dangerous. So we don't want to go on a road that is dangerous. We're asking Allah Ta'ala for the safest route. And the third quality is that it is the easiest route. It may be short, it may be safe, but maybe there's some difficulties, maybe there's some hurdles. So we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the easiest route. Remember, when we read Suratul Fatiha in Salah, it mustn't just be like a lip service, but rather at that precise moment, from our hearts, we're asking Allah, Allah, you give us hidayat. Oh Allah, you guide us. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, then he is on hidayat. وَمَنْ يُدْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides, then you will never find anyone to guide him. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time for hidayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the sirat-e-mustaqim. Now what is the sirat-e-mustaqim? This also Suratul Fatiha, Allah ta'ala explains, sirat-al ladina an'amta alayhim. This is the path of those upon whom you have favored. And that is explained in another ayat, wherein Allah ta'ala says, minan nabiyyin, was-siddiqin, was-shuhada, was-salihin. That is the path of the prophets, the nabis, the Siddiqs, the very high ranking awliya, like Hazrat Abu Bakr, Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, Siddiqa, she was a very, very high ranking personality. You hear of Hazrat Aisha, Siddiqa. So this is the Siddiq, and was shuhada, and the martyrs, those who gave their lives for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who gave their lives for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine people gave their whole lives. They gave everything they had. But we cannot even sacrifice our time in this day and time. We cannot even sacrifice, make a little effort. If we ask to prepare a meal for some guest, then that becomes a problem. If we ask to prepare a meal for a jamaat that is visiting, that becomes a problem. So what are we prepared to sacrifice? These people sacrificed everything. We want to be with them. We want to be in their ranks. Everyone wants to have an excellent end. Every person, I want to pass away on the 27th of Ramadan. I want to pass away in Madinah Munawwara. We want an excellent end. We want to end up our lives in a very beautiful, excellent manner. But are we making an effort in that line? Are we moving in that line? We want to be buried in Madinatul Munawwara with the Sahabiyat, with the Tabi'iyat, the great Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Mubarak wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so many pious personalities. But are we emulating their lives or not? That's the question we have to ask. Whether it's our dressing, whether it's our living, whether it's our mindset, whether it is our speech, whether it's our character, whether it's our salah, whether it's our ibadat, whether it's our tilawat, are we following in the footsteps of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha? Are we following in the footsteps of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? We cannot resemble the actors now and the celebrities and the YouTubers and the influencers. We following their way, but we want to end up with Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Is that going to happen? It cannot happen. Because you will be on the day of Qiyamah with those who you loved, those who you were attached to, those who you emulated, those who you followed. So we have to follow the Sahabiyat. We have to study their lives. We have to understand their qualities, understand their traits. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. She is the queen of the women of Jannah. But look at Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Look at her life. Look at her simplicity. Look at her generosity. What level of generosity she had. Look at her ibadat. Look at her obedience to her husband. Look at all these different qualities. Now when we look into their lives, we will see how great personalities they were. And gradually, yes, we cannot achieve everything overnight. Remember, change comes in gradually. Change comes in slowly. Slowly, slowly, you climb the ladder. You take step by step. You progress. You move forward. Are we moving forward or are we moving backward now? 5 years ago, the quality of my salah, and now the quality of my salah, is it the same? 5 years ago, how much of tilawat I was making, and now how much of tilawat I'm making, is it the same? Or am I improving? Am I progressing? If I am progressing, alhamdulillah, I need to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I need to continue progressing. I need to get, no one is perfect at any point. At any point, you can never claim to say that now I am perfect, I have reached the point of perfection, I don't need to progress anymore. No, every person, the greatest saint, the greatest buzurg, the greatest alim, the greatest mufti, everyone, there is room for progress. Everyone can become better people. So we need to study the lives of the pious woman of Islam. And remember, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with a very rich history. When you look into the books of history, you will find saintly personalities like Hazrat Rabia Basriya, rahmatullahi alayha. Rabia Basriya, she is buried now in Quds, in Jerusalem, not very far from the Masjid al-Aqsa, the mountain that is overlooking Masjid al-Aqsa. On that mountain, there is a masjid there named after Rabia Basriya. Thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people are going there, and they're going to visit the grave of Hazrat Rabia Basriya. But did you look at the life of Hazrat Rabia Basriya? Rabia Basriya, rahmatullahi alayha, always kept a kafan before her. She always kept a kafan in front of her. She said, I've got no need for the dunya and the worldly things. Hazrat Rabia Basriya, rahmatullahi alayha, when she read namaz, she read lengthy rakats of namaz. While we have time to spend in futile activities, hours we can spend in futile activities, these pious women were spending hours in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When she went into sajda, then the whole place of sajda was filled with her tears. Like a pool of water was formed because of her tears. Why was she crying? She was not crying because of worldly things. She was not crying because she wanted a better life, materialistic life. She was crying because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gripped her heart. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gripped her heart, that had moved her to tears, that had caused her to cry. So this was Hazrat Rabia Basriya, rahmatullahi alayha. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the potential in everyone. But as we mentioned, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ, it starts off with that intention, that, oh Allah, I want the akhirat. Oh Allah, I want jannat. Oh Allah, I want your love. Oh Allah, I want your proximity. The people of Medina Munawwara, in the golden days of Islam, in the golden era of Islam, the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, when they reached the age of 40, then they left out all worldly activities, unnecessary worldly activities, they left it out entirely, and they dedicated themselves to the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They started worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is how they were able to complete so many khatams. They were able to recite so much of Durood Sharif every day. So many La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah is one of the prescribed zikrs for the month of Ramadan. We should be reading a lot of La ilaha illallah. There should be no time wasted. This is not a month to waste time now. This is not a month to be scrolling on our phones and wasting time chit-chat, wasting time on social media platforms. No, this is a month now for us to prepare ourselves for the akhirat. Ibn al-Arabi rahimahullah, he mentions an incident. He says that he had come across a narration which mentioned that a person who reads 70,000 La ilaha illallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his maghfirat. So he said he had read his 70,000 and he kept it for him. And pious people were always ready. They were ready to leave for the akhirat. They were ready for Malakul Maut. How many of us can say if Malakul Maut comes and knocks at the door now and he says, I've come to take your life, how many of us can say safely that we are ready to go with Malakul Maut? We are prepared, we are happy, we have made all our preparations, we have fulfilled all the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we fulfilled all the rights of people. If we hurt anyone, we ask them for forgiveness, we cleared up all our records with people, we paid off all our debts, we read all our qaza namazes, we kept all our qaza rozas, we're ready to go. There's not so many people that will be prepared for that. So Ibn Arabi rahimahullah, he says, I was in a gathering where there was this youngster and people it was known among people that this boy used to get kashf. So kashf is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up at the realm of the unseen, that a person can see certain things. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prerogative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses it to whomsoever He wishes. It is not something for us to aspire for, and nor is it a perfection, not necessarily. Sometimes a person may not be so pious, but he may get it for some reason. But anyway, all of a sudden this youngster becomes sad, and he starts crying. So the people ask him, what happened? He says, no, it's just now opened up to me that my mother passed away and she's in the qabr and she's suffering some punishment. So Ibn al-Arabi, immediately in his mind, he makes this intention that, oh Allah, my 70,000 la ilaha illallah, I'm conveying that sawab to this person's mother. One is that if his mother is genuinely in a difficulty, then it's going to assist her. But at the same token, he'll also see whether this person is really getting the skush, or is it just some sort of a imagination? You get some people who hallucinate, people who just imagining things. So as soon as he did that, the youngster never knew. Immediately, he started smiling. So then they asked him, what happened now? He said, no, alhamdulillah, I can see some help of Allah has come. And my mother is now in a good space. Now she's in a good condition. So this is something that we should read good couple sets and keep it. So when people pass away, our friends pass away, our family members pass away, then that is the best gift we can give them. That sawab we can send for them. That is the time they need that reward the most. So this is the month now when we are supposed to be exerting ourselves. As I mentioned, we have got such a rich history. When we look into the books of history, we find so many pious women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them with such great gifts and such great favors, that although maybe hundreds of years have passed, sometimes over 1,000 years have passed, but still we remember them, we take their names, we make dua for them. Another woman who is not very, very famous is Sayyida Nafisa rahmatullahi alayha. Sayyida Nafisa is from the progeny of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an's great, great granddaughter is Sayyida Nafisa, a woman of very high morals, of very great ibadat, a very strong link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She is buried in Cairo, in Egypt. And a lot of people that go to Cairo, go to Egypt, make a special point of going to visit the grave of Sayyida Nafisa, rahmatullahi alayha. Sayyida Nafisa had come in an old age. She had come to Egypt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got a plan. These pious people, when they go to places, then they make a positive change. It is just their presence there that creates such a big change in the hearts of people. So one Jewish woman needed to leave her daughter. Her daughter was paralyzed. And born paralyzed and born with deformities. So she decided to leave her daughter with Sayyida Nafisa. And because of this woman's piety, her link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she made some dua, she read something, and the girl had recovered completely. So when the mother came back, the mother was shocked to see that immediately the daughter accepted Islam, her parents accepted Islam, and about 70 Jews accepted Islam. So the people of Egypt at that time, when they had any needs, when they had any necessities, they were going to Sayyida Nafisa, please make dua for us. In fact, it's mentioned that even Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, the great Imam of his time, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, after which the Shafi mazhab, they follow Imam Shafi like how we follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi should also go to Sayyida Nafisa rahmatullahi alayha, and he should ask her to make dua. So these people, they had such qualities. Eventually, she passed away in the month of Ramadan. She was fasting, and people told her to break her fast. She said, for 30 years, I'm making dua to Allah Ta'ala to take my life away while I'm fasting. And you are telling me now to break my fast. And she started reciting Quran Sharif. And while reciting Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took her ruh away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward her on our behalf and behalf of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and bless her grave with hundreds of thousands, droplets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. But these are people who we need to emulate. So this ayat, we're coming back to the ayat that we started off with, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. That person who intends the akhirat, and the intention cannot remain an intention. You get some people who say, no, I'm making intention. No, that intention now needs to become action. That intention now needs to take a physical form. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. Then he makes the adequate preparations for the akhirat. You want to go to Jannat? Jannat is not a lucky packet. Jannat is not just going to fall from the sky. Like the dunya, you don't regard anything to be a lucky packet. You work for what you want. You know you need to follow procedures. You need to follow protocols. So for Jannat also, there is a route. For Jannat also, there are protocols. Otherwise, these pious people would not have exerted themselves in this manner. They would have not been crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner. They have really left behind for us a very rich legacy. The legacy of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, you make the adequate preparations. You look into your life, you see what good qualities you have got and what bad habits you have got, bad characteristics. Slowly, slowly, start improving yourself. Start rectifying yourself. Get rid of all the bad qualities. This month of Ramadan is a month to get rid of all bad qualities. This month is a month of sabr and a month of patience. You know, you get different types of patience. But one level of patience is to restrain yourself from all forms of sin, all forms of disobedience. This is the rite of the month of Ramadan. Stay away from every form of sin. Protect the eyes, protect the ears, protect the tongue, protect the heart, protect the different parts of our bodies. Everything needs to now be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sabr of the stomach is hunger. Now the stomach is making sabr, alhamdulillah. We're not eating anything, we're not drinking anything, we may be feeling hungry, we may be feeling thirsty, but we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. The sabr of the tongue is to remain silent. Often people in the month of Ramadan, they start losing their cool, they lose their temper, they start becoming angry and making a big noise. No, that is again sabr. Sabr is that you have to remain calm, you have to remain composed. Don't lose your cool. Don't get angry, because you're getting angry for small things. You're losing your temper. This is against sabr. This is against patience. These pious personalities were very patient people. They were people that had very good qualities. When they wanted anything, they went on the musalla and they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never fought with people, but rather they put their needs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They learned how to draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They learned of the kingdom of the midnight. Wake up in the middle of the night, cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be our quality in our lives, that we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and drawing from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once someone complained to Hazrat Mufti Mahmood al-Hassan Gangoi rahmatullah alayhi, and they told him that the child is waking up in the middle of the night and the child is crying. And it's a common complaint. So Hazrat gave a very beautiful answer. He said there was one time when people woke up in the middle of the night and they cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was those tears that rolled down their cheeks in the middle of the night that attracted and drew the rahmat and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what brought the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what brought favorable conditions. It's not social media. It is not our smartphones. It's not this technology. It is not all these other futile activities we are involved in. That's not going to bring the help of Allah. We want the help of Allah for ourselves. We want the help of Allah for our children, for our families. We want the help of Allah for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know the plight of what's happening in Gaza. While we are enjoying different varieties of food at the time of suhoor and iftar, the people of Gaza are starving. They don't have food. They don't even have food for sehri. They don't have food for iftar. They have to fast in that condition. Their children have to fast in that condition. The least is we can make dua for them. We can shed tears for them. If we curb down all our futile activities, We will have much more time. There will be much more time at hand. Now that same time I'm spending outside in some futile activity, let me spend that time on the musalla. Let me spend that time making dua for these people. I will make dua for them. First of all, the farishtas will make dua for us. Walaka bimithal. May Allah grant you the same. May Allah grant your family the same. May Allah grant your children the same. Remember, dua. There's no point in your life you can say you made sufficient dua. The more dua you make, the more dua you need to make. In these dark days, in these difficult days, in these days with challenges, we've seen so many different challenges. We've seen COVID, we've seen the looting, we've seen the floods. Still now the heavy rains are coming. It is only dua that can help us. It is nothing else that's going to help us. It is the dua that we make. Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we need to inculcate all these different qualities in our lives. The month of Ramadan is a month of ibadat. This is a month to boost the batteries of our iman. This is the month now to correct our spiritual and realign our spiritual compass, to turn our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a month of dua. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, the author of Fazail-e Amal, Fazail-e Sadaqat, Fazail-e Hajj. We read his kitabs often. We're supposed to be making ta'aleem in our homes every day of these kitabs. These kitabs will bring barakah, it will bring nur in our homes. He mentioned something very beautiful. He says that I have found 1 minute before iftar, the dua that is made to be so powerful. So powerful that dua, 1 minute before iftar. Who doesn't have 1 minute? He says that if the ummah only utilizes this time to make dua for their needs, this will be a means of them fulfilling their needs. This will be a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing about favorable conditions. And then he further advises, he says, when you put the first date in your mouth, then for 30 seconds in your heart make dua. For 1 minute before iftar. I'm just saying 1 minute minimum. If you make more, it's even better. You make 5 minutes, even better. But minimum 1 minute. That 1 minute before iftar seems to be a very, very powerful dua. So you're making that dua from the bottom of your heart. Remember, dua is not a lip service. Nowadays, many of us have made dua just a repetition of words. Rabbana atina fidu. But there's nothing in the heart. Dua is we begging to Allah. We pleading from Allah. We crying to Allah. We asking Allah, Allah, we have to have this. You have to give it to us. Only you can give it to us. No one else can give it to us. We have to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are desperately in need to His mercy. We are desperately in need to His deen. We are desperately in need to get His proximity. Allah, we want to die with iman. We want jannat. We want jannat for ourselves. We want jannat for our families. We want jannat for our children. We don't want to be going to jannat alone. We've got to work on everyone. So this dua, you're making that dua at that time. And then after that, just 30 seconds, when the first date is, while the date is still in our mouths, and we're making dua in our hearts. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the month of Ramadan is a month of dua. It is a month of ibadat. Don't forget to perform your Taraweeh Salah. Remember that Taraweeh Salah. Women will perform the Taraweeh Salah at home. But remember, every sajda you're making, you're getting the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're getting the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're getting the reward. You are now preparing yourself for the akhirat. That Taraweeh Salah has got so many benefits, so many spiritual benefits. If everyone in the home, those all that are at home, the females, the mother, the daughters, all read that Taraweeh Salah, that will bring barakah in that home. That will bring us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That sajda we make has got so many even physical benefits. Sheikh Zulfiqar, he says once he was in a museum. Sheikh Zulfiqar, he says once he was in a museum, and when he was in the museum, he met a doctor, a non-Muslim doctor. So the doctor is telling him that I see pious people, I see there's a special glow on their faces. People who make a lot of ibadat in you Muslims, I see there's a certain beauty on their faces. So Sheikh Zulfiqar said, yes, we do normally see this. So the doctor told him, do you know what's the scientific reason for that? So he says, no, I don't know what's the scientific reason. The doctor told him, when you're going in sajda, because your face, you are lowering it down, and your heart is now above your face. So the flow of blood is very good to the face. The blood is flowing. The blood is flowing very in a very beautiful manner to the face. So because of this, you find that it becomes, the face is looking attractive and the face is beautiful now. So this is the effect of sajda. Sajda has got so many benefits. It's got spiritual benefits. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The closest a person can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when it's in the state of sajda. So we need to make more namaz. We need to make more ibadat. We need to make more sajda. This is going to take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ. That person who intends the akhirat, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا, and he makes the necessary preparations for the akhirat, and he prepares himself for the year after. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, provided he's got iman in his heart, he is a believer. Remember, we must always have iman in our hearts. Always believe everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Risk is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good health is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Favorable conditions is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is there for us. There's no one else. Siwa tere koi sahara nahi hai. Siwa tere koi hamara nahi hai. The poet says, O Allah, besides you, there's no other support for us. O Allah, besides you, there's no one there for us. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is there for us. We have to have that yaqeen and that conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our iman must be very strong. Our yaqeen must be very strong. We need to bring iman in all the different tenets of faith. Bring iman in Allah. Bring iman in the akhirat, on the angels, on the kitabs, on the books, on the messengers, on the day of qiyamah. Bring iman in taqdeer. Everything, our iman needs to be very strong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ, those people, their efforts will now be appreciated in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with a hayatan tayyiba, with a good life, with a happy life, with a pleasant life, a life of contentment, a life of halal, and a life of beauty, a life of excellence. And also with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with the akhirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with a beautiful death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them away from this dunya in a beautiful manner. We will conclude with one incident. About 150 years ago, in Damascus, this incident had transpired. There was a grave digger, and one woman comes to him one day, and she tells him, dig a grave, someone has passed away. So he dug the grave, and about an hour later, the janazah was brought, a young man had passed away, that was the decree, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everyone will pass away on his prescribed time. So as he releases the body down into the grave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the realm of the unseen, and he sees the whole grave turns into an orchard of Jannat. And two men come on a horse, and they take the body of this person away. Allah knows where they took the body to, perhaps to Medina Munawwara. Someone may pass away here, but the body is moved to Medina Munawwara. Allah protects, someone passes away in Medina Munawwara, the body is taken out from there. Allah has got his own system. So this grave digger, he fainted, because he couldn't, first time he saw something like this in his life. So many years he's digging the grave, he fainted. Anyway, he fainted. People saw he fainted, they threw water. After he regained his consciousness, he told the people, you know what I seen? The people around, no one else seen it, only he seen it. So he explained to them, but the woman was gone. Some months later, the same woman comes, dig a grave, someone passed away. So again he digs a grave, again a person is brought, and again he released the body in the grave, and he sees that the same condition now, that whole grave just turns into like an orchard of Jannat, and two men come on the horse and they take the body away. But this time he doesn't faint, so he comes out of the grave quickly, and he follows the woman. He asked her, who are you and where you came from? She told him, you know what, why are you asking me all these questions? I've just now went through a calamity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put me through a situation, put me through a test. Few months ago, my one son passed away. And now, my second son passed away. So he tells her that why I'm asking you this is because this is my experience. This is what I have noticed, what I have witnessed. And what were these boys doing? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them in this manner. So she said, see, my first son, he was a talib ilm. He was a student of deen. He dedicated his life to the knowledge of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perhaps rewarded him in this manner because of seeking for knowledge. And remember, knowledge is from the cradle till the grave. Whenever we are going for any program, whether it's a ta'lim or any program that we're going for, any deeni program where our ulama are speaking, then always be someone who wants to learn. Always be a student of deen. Maybe we cannot now physically take admission and go to a class, but we will be a student of deen in the sense that we will always try to attend deeni programs. Where deeni programs are taking place, we'll try to attend that deeni program and we will acquire that necessary knowledge. And she said, as for my second son, then he used to work as a carpenter. And he was supporting my first son. Because he said that, see, this boy, he has dedicated his life to knowledge. So I will provide for him, I will support him. And perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had rewarded him in this manner. So when we live our lives in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we make Jannat our priority, the Akhirat our priority, Deen our priority, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let our efforts go to waste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always accept our efforts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates our efforts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards our efforts. Let us make this intention. There's just almost half of Ramadan is already finished. And now we have got half left. Before you know it, the half will be finished. Time is flying. And with time flying, opportunities are also flying. There are great opportunities. Opportunities of tilawat, opportunities of zikr, opportunities of performing our tarawih properly, going for lengthy periods of time into sajda, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not waste this month of Ramadan. We don't know whether we will see another month of Ramadan. All the time, there's janaza messages coming, people passing away, young people are passing away, fit people are passing away, healthy people are passing away. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who will leave this dunya at which point. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to follow in the footsteps of our pious predecessors, the pious women of the past. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to inculcate those qualities within our lives, to distance ourselves away from the dunya and turn our hearts towards the akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the good fortune of this world and the good fortune of the year after, and protect us and our families from all the mischief and all the evil and all the fitnas that are happening throughout the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with all the good of this world and all the good of the year after. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa mulana Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina wa mulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, hamdan muwafiyan ni ni'mihi, mukafiyan ni mazidi. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina wa mulana Muhammadi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa junudi. Ya rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Allahumma zayyinna bi zinatil iman waj'alna hudatan muhtadin. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma barik lana fil maut wa fi ma ba'da al maut. Allahumma ansur al islam wal muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al islam wal muslimin. Allahumma ansur al mujahideen fi kulli makan. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursalin. Alhamdulillah.